Hello, welcome to this AHDB podcast. It's all about getting the balance right, as sometimes our world feels out of kilter. Even before the global pandemic, for many, life was a non-stop juggling act. Staying healthy, getting good sleep, and choosing the right food to eat all needed balancing. Headlines often shout, too much of this, too little of that. It'll do bad things to your health, or the environment, or both. I'm John Bates, and I'm talking to marketing and consumer insights specialists to understand how AHDB's upcoming £1.5 million TV-led consumer campaign will bring balance to the negative commentary. On the panel for the discussion, I'm pleased to welcome back to the podcast Christine Watts. Susie Stannard joins us as a specialist for AHDB on consumer insight, and Liam Byrne, who leads the Beef and Lamb marketing activity, is also from AHDB. Christine, thanks very much for coming back on the podcast. So you're the chief in charge of all the marketing and communication activity. Set the scene about AHDB's role in this balancing act, if you would.
Well, thank you, John. AHDB has a fantastic team who work to understand exactly what consumer trends are, and also then to position in terms of where we can best market the products that our farmers and growers are producing. We all know, don't we? You get to January and you say, that's it, I'm going to give something up. It's really important, I'm going to go on that diet, I'm going to be more healthy, and we've all been there. And by about the 6th of January, it's getting a bit flaky. We're not actually giving up quite as we intended. This campaign, it's launching in January, is all about saying, actually, eat balanced, enjoy the food that you love, choose for taste and flavour. And in doing that, you can still have a fantastic, nutritionally balanced diet, which is locally sourced and is good for you. And heading off to the extremities, of a week on cabbage soup is probably not the place and space that you need to go to.
Frankly, I can tell you now, I've got no intention of having a week on cabbage soup. So this is great. So this is all about eating balanced and some sort of positive promotion around that. Now, AHDB has worked with a lot of partners on this, hasn't it?
Yeah, so this campaign, as you said, it's £1.5 million. It's a campaign that's being led by partners across the dairy, pork, beef and lamb producers, recognising really that meat and dairy play an absolutely key role in a balanced and sustainable diet, just as our five-a-day fruit and vegetables do. So it's all about having a diet, as we say, that is balanced. And we've been really fortunate that the farmers and growers, the industry, have really come together to embrace this, because they feel it's time that, as an industry, we began to communicate and work with consumers and actually give them a sustainable diet and a healthy diet without feeling that they needed to go to any extremity, either in the choice of food or indeed in the affordability of the food they choose. I think the other thing that's key is that we have been very clear that everything we're suggesting and recommending, right down to our recipes, are absolutely standard affordable ingredients.
So, Liam, if I can just bring you in, you're the marketing lead on all of this. The creative people have come up with the slogan "Eat Balanced," and I'm assuming that that's advice rather than an instruction. But it's a clever approach, isn't it? Just tell us a little bit about the thinking behind the campaign.
Yeah. Good morning, John. So perhaps I should just start by explaining what our role within marketing at AHDB is. And our role really is to understand what consumers want and then work to develop solutions. And ideally, those solutions should be profitable. So we work really closely with Susie and the market intelligence team to gather and interpret the data and the research, and then we translate that into an informed campaign. And then we work with the supply chain to activate, and then generally we will focus on driving those longer term changes. So we're looking kind of 3 to 5 years ahead, but we do reserve the ability to be able to pivot and support industry where needed. So in terms of the kind of, in terms of Eat Balanced and how we got there, we intrinsically, we worked with our market intelligence team and the evidence available. We did a number of focus group work, and picking up on some of the points that Christine made there, what resoundingly came through was that health and nutrition are intrinsically important to people, the wellness of themselves and the wellness of their families. And actually, there is a lot being said about the nutritional benefits of fruit and vegetables, but actually not a lot being said benefits of meat and dairy. And recognising that not everybody is looking to reduce their meat and dairy consumption. Still, there's about 80% of the population that continue to eat meat and dairy at the same levels that they have. But looking at those 20%, actually, we are looking at how we protect the role of these sector products within a balanced diet, recognising that they have a great story to tell and a really positive role to play in the health and well-being of people's lives.
So, Susie, I think perhaps it might be a good idea to bring you in now, because what Liam has helpfully done there is shown the importance of the work and the analysing that you guys do in Consumer Insight. Just tell us a little bit about that then. So how do you get the data? How do you analyse it?
Lots of different streams of data, I guess, coming in. So we have lots of things that we run, like trackers, which are looking at week in, week out, how people are feeling about different issues. In the background, we look at sales data from the likes of Kantar. We look at usage data to see how people are consuming and cooking with different ingredients. And then we do kind of more specialist research when we want to develop a campaign. So in this case, as Leah mentioned, we started off with quite broadly with qualitative research, which is getting everyone together in a room in a focus group environment and just chatting through some different concepts. And that feels very foreign to us now, actually, getting everybody in a room together in COVID times. But that was how we started, really, back in sort of January, February this year. And from there, we sort of identified what people were really interested in, and it was kind of the idea of what do these foods do for me, what does it do for me and my family, and from there we were able to look at some messages. So we ran some message testing with consumers. This time COVID had hit, so we were kind of doing this not in a focus group environment, but with people at home on their laptops, and that really pulled out that the most relevant and powerful sort of areas that people were interested in is almost reminding them of some of the key messages that perhaps we were brought up with, but people haven't been talking about for a long time. So this idea that actually, if you eat meat and dairy, it can deliver some really great things for your body. So things like B12, iron, protein, calcium are all things which are difficult or more difficult to get from a plant-based diet, would require taking pills and things, and actually they come in a really neat nutritious package which is easy, accessible and delicious. So that was really powerful for consumers, actually, and we got a sense when we showed the ad to consumers there was a lot of positivity. So we looked at a few different ideas, but the thing that really came through that this year, people don't want to be told what to do. They don't want lots of negativity. They're tired of rules and regulations and being dictated to. So actually, this ad feels very uplifting. There's a really positive message. It shows you what you can do for your health in a very easy way. And it really resonated really powerfully with our target audience.
Okay, Liam, so you're presented with all the data, you get all the facts and the insight. What happens now?
Yeah, I suppose it's our job then to to start to weave that into a story. And we're very fortunate that food and farming in this country has an absolutely brilliant story to tell. And of course, we want to make the link between the story within the farms and the fields with the connection with people in their homes and their kitchens, and recognising that not everybody has that intrinsic understanding of where their food comes from. And what we've seen through lockdown, especially, and again, we've gleaned this through Susie and the market intelligence and our market intelligence team, is that increasingly people have had an interest in where their food comes from and how it's produced. But also increasingly through lockdown, naturally, we've all done it. We turn to our mobile phones as sources of information. And if we're all honest, it's really difficult to pin down what websites or statements on social media are true and what aren't, and what images are images of British farming and which are global farming. And so now more than ever, it's really important that we're able to extract ourselves from some of those global arguments and debates, and extract ourselves from some of those misnomers and mistruths. And so a big part of the campaign that we look at, as well as the story and the messages, the different media that we play it through. So TV is the kind of the big bang launch, and that gives us a whole heap of reach, because it gets us into pretty much every household in the UK. But actually, the real battle is going to be on social media. So we're really upping our presence of in terms of social. And when you understand the consumer that you're talking to, then you can also then recognise the shops that they buy their food in, what newspapers they read. That all helps inform the planning of where we're going to be advertising. So we're also going to be in the Guardian newspaper. We've got some whole page takeovers throughout January within the Guardian newspaper, recognising that a Guardian reader is three times more likely to be reducing their meat and dairy consumption.
Okay, so Christine, let me just bring you in here about the value of these sorts of campaigns for the levy payer.
These campaigns are hugely valuable for the levy payer because they let them tell their story. They are connecting farmers who perhaps don't have access to our urban consumer and our big population bases, and telling their story. And as Liam said, it's a fabulous story that British farmers and growers have to tell. And it's making sure that the story is accurate for the food that is produced in this country and the farming that we are able to deliver. But what's quite fun with all of this, Liam mentioned the TV advert. Of course, filming a TV advert during COVID has its own challenges. Just at the critical moment when we were all then presented with our second lockdown, added a layer of challenge again, which was not really how marketing teams typically work. We like to have a big outings, film exactly what we want, go from site and location, and all those images you have of at the movies is exactly like what we like to do, but in miniature when we film a TV ad. We couldn't go anywhere, so we have had to do that from our sitting rooms and from our lounges. We've had to scour painstakingly through reams and reams of footage, making sure it's absolutely accurate. It completes the true story of British dairy, livestock and other production. And also that in doing that, it's really current and up to date. That is no mean challenge. I know that we've had some fun with some imagery where we said that's absolutely wonderful, but we're not on the plains of the USA. I think the marketing teams have had to learn a huge amount about the production systems of the UK. So they'll be a better informed team than any other that probably sits across any agency I could ever think of. We have a great team in AHDB.
I've had several text messages late at night or early morning to wake up to from Christine, your commentary on that grass isn't green enough. which is that fir tree, a UK fir tree? Please confirm. And but we are really, really into the detail. And I will say that the team, on behalf of all of our levy preparers, the team are putting in 12-hour days at the moment to get this over the line for January. We absolutely recognise the importance of coming out of lockdown and being in the space and in the conversation come January. So, yeah, we're really into it.
And the aim in January then is to go back to the title of the campaign, so eat balance. So we're trying to achieve a balance in agriculture and in consumption. Is that sort of, you know, what we're trying to do? We're trying to balance the argument.
Yeah, there's a piece around that balance intrinsically is a word that landed well with consumers when we talked to them about it. And interestingly, for a lot of consumers, when we say about balanced diet, they just say, well, it's common sense. And actually, common sense is a really good space to play in because people get it. But the balance element, of course, we can hang the balanced diet and the positive role meat and dairy plays as part of that. But we can also talk about balance and sustainability. And we can also talk about balancing of the holistic story of farming to fork. And broadly, we've landed on three key areas that we are going to be building our narrative around. So the first is B12, which we know is you cannot naturally source from a vegan diet. So B12 is a kind of a unique essential nutrient. And we have a great story to tell there that tested really well with consumers. The second is that meat and dairy from Britain is amongst the most sustainable in the world. That starts to extract us from those global debates and tell the story of our production in this country. And then the third is that the UK meat and dairy have the highest, some of the highest standards of food production in the world. And we can talk about food safety and farm practice.
Christine?
Yeah, I mean, I think as Liam said, it's about the consumer having a balanced plate. So that's a nutritionally balanced plate. It's an affordable plate of food. It's ordinary foods. It's the foods that we would typically look to enjoy. It's a healthy plate of food. And we've considered all the angles, portion size being accurate, sourcing of the offering that we're giving, and really getting into the nuance. I think I started mentioning cabbage soup, but actually, January is the time of a fad diet. We've all been on them. If we're honest with ourselves, we have all been on one of those fad diets. And what we're trying to say is that you can still be very healthy but enjoy a balanced plate. And we're giving many of those ideas and inspirations through some recipes. And we also know that January is often a time where there's a big push around a vegan diet or a meat reduction diet, and we are seeing increasingly lots of new coming through. The British Nutrition Foundation have recently published of new research, and that is identifying that going for a diet which doesn't have a balance will bring up issues around iodine, vitamin B12, protein. So it's just thinking through actually what is right for our health and what is right for our family's health. And let's just not feel pressurized that we need to take a path that perhaps is not the right us personally, individually, or members of our family.
Now, Susie, if I can just come back to you, because I can't resist the opportunity when I've got a consumer insight specialist on the podcast. I can't resist the opportunity to talk about COVID and to talk about, so has the pandemic sort of changed behaviours, and are you able to plot that? What have you looked at that? Tell me.
Yeah, we've spent a lot of this year looking at that. I think there's been some really interesting things that came out of this pandemic, and actually probably things that we wouldn't necessarily expected to happen. So obviously, as we kind of enter the pandemic, there was a huge shift from food service, from people eating out, bringing it back into the home. And what we saw as you know, initial panic buying kind of settled, people really rediscovered a joy in food and a joy in cooking that perhaps hadn't been there for a while. And we saw this growth in scratch cooking. We saw everybody baking sourdough and banana bread. And we saw people returning to old favourites. And, you know, eating steak again, discovering that love of having a lovely steak on a Friday night when you can't go out. Let's cook it for ourselves. But things like mince and dishes made with mince just grew massively. And I think mince was up 50% year on year. We also saw in dairy massive growth in things like cream and butter, which was to do with baking, but also sort of a slight degree of indulgence as people were just looking for ways to cheer themselves up in a rather gloomy, you know, despite the nice weather, and particularly now we don't have the nice weather, it's really gloomy, Christmas is on the horizon, and people are really looking to rediscover that love and joy in food, which I think in the last couple of years people have been quite mealy-mouthed about eating, and it's just become very functional and very grey, and we've almost lost that inspiration and joy.
Okay, so Christine, just the importance of an organisation like Red Tractor and that packaging, is that a big feature of this campaign as well?
Red Tractor is always a key partner for us as we work with farmers and growers. The Red Tractor logo on the end frame of the TV campaign, and will also be featured through the social media piece. Liam mentioned earlier standards, and we know that for our consumers, they are getting assured standards when they pick up a product that has got the Red Tractor logo on, and they also know that they are picking up a British farmed and grown product. So it's a really important signpost to us, and it really is an organisation and a set of standards that consumers are very fortunate to have in Britain, because it enables them very quickly during their shop to gain assurance about the product that they're selecting.
It's interesting, during the pandemic as well, we did see a growth in people wanting to buy more locally and wanting to buy more British produce as well. And I think some of that was just a desire. We can see that businesses are struggling, and there's a real wish for people to want to support local businesses, and buying British is really part of that. So I think Red Tractor is a good way that consumers can help there.
I think just to kind of build on that, I think on the other end of that, as well as kind of getting really focused into local, on the other end of that, and going back to the point I made around people turning increasingly to social media and stories, and as we come out of Europe, things like growth hormones, antibiotics in meat, a lot of that is being, those messages are being absorbed by consumers through the media and the stories that they're reading. And we know, of course, that they're not necessarily related to practices within this country, with growth hormones having been banned. So again, it's just important that we're able to signpost people and tell the story around standards here, probably now more than ever.
OK, well, thank you. We'll leave it there. So eat balanced. That's the rule for 2021. Thank you to my guests, Christine Watts, Susie Stannard and Liam Byrne. If you want more information on the Eat Balance campaign, visit the AHDB website, ahdb.org.uk. AHDB want to hear from you. And if you've got any ideas for future podcast episodes or comments about the content of this edition, please use the link on the show notes. Many thanks to podcast producer Aisha Shabman. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.